7, United States versus Moody. And it's Mr. Trink.
May it please the court, your honors, Mr. McGovern. The only issue before this honorable court is whether the district court, Judge Gacho, properly enhanced Daryl Moody's sentence under United States Sentencing Guideline 2K2.1B5. And an enhancement under that section is appropriate where the defendant possessed or transferred any firearm with knowledge, intent, or reason to believe that it would be used or possessed in connection with the felony offense. Judge Gatzel, at the sentencing hearing, said the following. Mr. Moody had reason to believe by selling to Mr. Hinton, or attempting to sell to Mr. Hinton, that this gun was going to get in the hands of the gangster disciples. And that was the basis for the enhancement. Now, United States versus Jemison is the case Judge Gatzel used analogized to Mr. Moody's case, and that's pretty much the leading case that most often gets cited on the Seventh Circuit, and that's where defendant Carter admitted he purchased 10 guns that he intended to sell to the gangster disciples and actually went to the gun store to purchase this gun with a gangster disciple. There was no actual sale that took place. In this case, there was an attempted sale to Timothy Hinton. And Timothy Hinton was the government's witness. He testified at trial he never touched a gun in his life. He also said he never moved a gun for anybody else. He never talked with Moody or met with Moody prior to the date that he was approached by Mr. Moody.
But Mr. Trink, is there a reasonable inference that a firearm that's sold to a gang member illegally might be used in a felony as opposed to being purchased for lawful recreational purposes?
Well, Judge, Mr. Hinton wasn't a gang member, and Mr. Moody would have no reason to believe he was a gang member.
Well, by stating that his firearm was something that, quote, his guys were looking for, wasn't he purposely giving the impression that he was connected to a gang that might be interested so that Moody wouldn't be alerted to his intentions to inform law enforcement authorities?
Mind you that Mr. Hinton wasn't cooperating with the government at that time. He wasn't trying to actually portray himself as a gang member. He actually called the law enforcement subsequent to the attempted sale. So he wasn't trying to portray
trying to cover himself.
He was trying to cover himself here.
After the
but he wasn't trying to portray himself as a gang member as a cooperating informant. He was just an individual basically, I would fair to say, is trying to extricate himself from the situation.
Sure.
And but he wasn't a gang member. He never sold guns.
Well, he was attempting to sell to the gang, as Judge Rodman pointed out.
There's really no evidence that he was a gang member.
He said that he was attempting to sell to the gang.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where that evidence comes from, actually, Your Honor. I think what it comes from, the government cites to an individual, when Mr. Moody came up to Chicago, he stayed with an individual who the government claims was a gangster disciple. Now, that wasn't testimony at trial. That was a statement. He gave a statement to law enforcement, but he never said that he was a gangster disciple in this written statement. The government uses an exhibit I believe it might have been objections to the pre-sentence investigation report, where this individual, Bullock, signed a written statement saying that he made a statement and he asked him if he knew that anyone that could sell it or he could sell the gun to. But he never admits in his statement that he was a member of a gang. The government was attempting to introduce evidence in 2003. At some other point, he admitted to law enforcement he was a member of a gang. Well, and anyway, my question, I guess, is in this situation, Mr. Hinton wasn't involved with guns, never touched a gun in his life, and where Mr. Moody would have been the reason to believe that he was a gangster disciple comes from a totally separate individual, unconnected to Mr. Hinton. I would pose the example to the court. If Mr. Moody said to someone else, I would like to sell to a gangster, a gang member, and he actually sells to Cardinal George, well, that would exhibit his intent or reason to believe that his gun was going to be used in connection to a gangster disciple. It's the actual attempted sale that's critical, not his statement to some other individual. The other cases that the court has looked at this issue is the United States vs. Rogers case, which is cited in the brief, and that was where there's 59 firearms purchased, 16 ended up in the hands of persons actually charged with a felony offense. And the United States vs. Inglese case, INGLESE, where guns were sold to an undercover officer, and the undercover officer told Inglese that he needed a Tech 9 to shoot someone. So clearly, the defendant in that case had reason to believe that there was another felony offense. Judge, I would like to save some time for rebuttal.
Sure.
If the court has any questions, I surely would ask. Thank you.
Mr. McGuffey, good morning.
Thank you. Yeah. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. Patrick McGovern for the United States. The district court did not clearly err when it found that the four-level enhancement under Section 2K2.1B applied. There was sufficient evidence in the record, and common sense dictated that Mr. Moody had reason to believe that his attempted sale of the machine gun would be the machine gun would ultimately be used in another felony.
Tell me this. Are you asking us to hold that a firearm that is sold to a gang member establishes per se a reason to believe that it would be used in connection with the felony offense?
Judge, I think the answer is yes, and the reason I answer yes is because the court has already held that in Jemison. I think they noted the notorious history of the gangster disciples, one notorious street gang in the city of Chicago, and it's well documented through this court and unfortunately throughout this city that the gangster disciples are frequently involved in felonies. As I mentioned, the record is clear that to support Judge Gottschall's finding, and I will state several reasons why, several pieces of evidence. First of all, there was the testimony of Mr. Hinton, and I think Mr. Chunik had already alluded to it, and Mr. Hinton testified that when Mr. Moody was showcasing this fully automatic 800 rounds per minute machine gun, military-style weapon, that Mr. Hinton, in the situation that he was in, and maybe he was trying to extricate himself from the situation, but he told Mr. Moody that this is something my guys are looking for. Mr. Hinton also testified in his affidavit for the John Doe search warrant before the Circuit Court of Cook County that Mr. Moody had boasted to him during this encounter that Mr. Moody had sold guns to gang members in Chicago in the past. Furthermore, Your Honors, we have the evidence of Mr. Bullock. Mr. Bullock, in a written statement post-arrest, told ATF agents that Mr. Moody, his buddy from Mississippi, asked Mr. Bullock to call people that he knew in Chicago who would be interested in the machine gun. He stayed with Mr. Bullock, and Mr. Bullock had told ATF agents that he was a member of the gangster disciples. It doesn't take much to connect the dots here, Your Honors. Simple common sense would tell you that Mr. Moody, after burglarizing a gun store in Mississippi, traveling 800 miles here to Chicago to sell this dangerous weapon, he was not here to sell it to some person for target practice. And it was something that he wanted to sell on the street, and he well knew that it would be used in another felony. In this case, he was trying to sell it to people he thought were either gang members themselves or who were associated with gang members. And I think under the reading of Jemison, which is almost completely on point, I think that common sense and the evidence in this case is clear that the enhancement under 2K2.1 be applied. There's simply no reason otherwise to find that the district court clearly erred. And if there are no other questions from the panel, I would respectfully ask the court to affirm the conviction and sentence of Mr. Moody.
Thank you, Mr. McGovern. Mr. Chairman.
With respect to the evidence that Mr. Moody boasted to Mr. Hinton that he sold to gang members before, that came in the form of an unchallenged affidavit in the Circuit Court of Cook County. This was not his testimony at the trial in this case, where he was subject to cross-examination. He never testified to that in any respect, although the government says he affirmed what he previously stated under oath in this affidavit in the Circuit Court. I don't think it has a lot of credibility in any of our own testimony at the trial. Now, with respect to Mr. Bullock, the ATF did interview Mr. Bullock, and he did say that he was a member, of, at least according to the proffer, the sentencing hearing, that he did say that he was a member of Gangster Disciples. But there was no evidence linking the fact that Mr. Bullock, Mr. Moody knew that Mr. Bullock was a member of Gangster Disciples, or his activities in the Gangster Disciples, and the attempted sale wasn't to Mr. Bullock. It was actually to Mr. Hinton. And I respectfully think there's a distinction when someone might have wanted according to what he said to a friend and what he actually did. He attempted to sell to an individual who wasn't in the gang, who never touched guns, who never dealt with guns on a prior occasion. That was what the evidence was. That was what the attempted sale was for. And I think that's where the analysis should begin. Unless the court has any other questions, I would rest with that.
Thank you, Mr. Tunick. Thank you, Mr. McGovern. The case will be taken under advisement.